We were singing about the powerful name of Jesus, and He is the I Am, and again, He is the one that, He is it, the essence of life for us, and the giver of life. There was this older gentleman, actually a grandfather, and his grandson were traveling. They were headed to the city, and they had to go through several villages along the way, so they set off on their trek. They had a donkey with them that the grandfather was leading, and the grandson was walking beside him as they traveled. They came to the first village, and the villagers there kind of complained a bit, thought he was kind of foolish. Here you're just leading the donkey. You ought to be up riding it instead of walking beside it. So to appease the villagers, he gets on the donkey, and they set off onto the city. They come to a second village. And there the folks, they complain that he's riding the donkey and not letting the young man, the grandson, ride the donkey. So to appease them, he climbs off the donkey and puts the grandson on the donkey, and off they set again. They get to the third village, and there they're saying that the grandson's being lazy and taking advantage of the grandfather. So this time, as they leave, he climbs on the donkey, and both of them set off. Well, they get to the fourth village, and they complain, saying that they're being cruel to the animal because both of them are riding and making him carry both of them at the same time. So the next time you see this grandfather, he's confused and struggling because now he's carrying the donkey as he walks down the road. It's a good little story to illustrate to us that we cannot please everyone. Even in Christian life, we have good, meaning believers that have come along in our life, and they have all kinds of advice to offer us about how we could live our life and how we can do better in life. And to try to appease them, you're never going to please everyone. It just doesn't happen. You know, in reality, the only one that we really have to worry about pleasing is God the Father through His Son Jesus with the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God's the only one we have to please. We know that through the Scripture it says the way that we please God is by operating in faith, that we're following and we're trusting Him. And so it's really an act of obedience. So as we're following God's Word and we're obeying God's Word, we're going to please God. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading about verse 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. If you're using one of the Bibles on the back of the pew in front of you, if you turn to page 153 there, you should find Ephesians 5 and you can look for verse 7. Paul's already been talking, actually this whole letter that Paul's been writing, or the Holy Spirit's having Paul write to this church, has the theme of grace is for all. And what grace does in our life, because we've been touched by it, we've changed. And he's been talking about the contrast of how we're living and walking in this grace now. Just in the first 7 verses, he talked to us about, or he wrote there about being imitators of God. And again, this is how we please God, because we're going to follow Him, we're going to trust Him, we're going to do exactly what He's doing, say exactly what He's saying, and so we're going to be imitators, we're going to mimic God. And He showed for us, or He outlined for us, a true rendering of who God is, as well as a counterfeit to what Satan tries to get us to resemble. And again, this is all moving us into living in grace and into a holy life. Now he turns his attention in verse 7 and following, to walking in the light, to following after this, imitating and reflecting God's light then, and what that does in us and what that's going to do for people around us as well. So pick up in verse 7, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, do not become partners with them, people of the darkness. It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Paul's going to outline for us here four principles, four things about walking in the light and what it means for us, and again, how grace has changed us, but what it means to walk in the light, and this is in how we'll help others as well. Remember singing, growing up singing that song, This Little Light of Mine? Remember doing all the hand motions before? So we've sung that song, we've done the hand motions, but have we lived it? Is that something we do? I mean, how bright is your light that's shining? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heavens. It said, a city that's lit up on a hillside, you cannot hide it. And it says, you don't turn a light on in the house and cover it up. He says, no, you turn the light on so that everyone around can enjoy the light and benefit from it. So how bright is your light? How is the light working for God in you or from you? And it says, how are you reflecting it? Are you guilty of hiding it or trying to conceal it a bit so that others are not enjoying the light and the glory of God? Do they know that the love of God is shining in you? Do they see and experience the grace of God when they're coming to your contact? So that the kind of the big piece of this is, what Paul talks about, the big commandment is, walk in the light because you are children of the light. So first thing that we notice here is that walking in the light leads us to reflecting the light. If we're in the light, if we're walking in the light, then we shall reflect it. It just kind of naturally is going to happen. Now notice something in verse 8 there. He says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now get this. Do you see what he said? He didn't say you were in darkness. He said you were the darkness. You are totally consumed by the darkness. But now, because of God, because of faith expressed in Christ, because you have believed, because you've put your faith in God, you are now children of the light. So walk like that. Reflect it to others. See, once you were children of disobedience, but now all God has come and you are children. You are His child. You're walking and living by faith. And this is seen through the Scriptures. Isaiah talked about walking in the light, or the light that was the everlasting light. He talked about the light that was the guidance of life. Psalms, we read this, and this was a good Bible school verse, that the light, his word is the light to my path. It lights and it guides my way through life. John talked about Jesus being the light of the world. He is the Son. The light is the Son of God, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, shining for us. The Son, or the light, in the Scriptures also would reflect or mean the glory of God that He shines upon us, His glory, worthy to be praised. Remember in Exodus, Moses wanted to see God. You know, he spent so much time with God. God, I want to see you. I've heard your voice. I've seen the burning bush, but I want to see you, God. So God, so that Moses could just see a glimpse of Him, hid Him in the crevice of the rock, and God walks past him. So in essence, Moses didn't even see the back of God. He just saw the afterglow of God. You remember what happened? Because he'd been in the presence of God, because he'd seen the glory of God, it shone, it illuminated his own face. For weeks on end, he was still glow because he'd been in the glory of God. John also writes that Jesus is the light of the world. And he said the light from God came into the world, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not accept it because it was, in some sense, too bright. It's almost kind of like a guy that got lost in a cave once. And his light went out for whatever reason. And he couldn't find his way. So he was pitch dark. So he was groping and stumbling around in the darkness. And he got lost. The more he walked around, the further he got into the cave. And finally, one day, he did see a glimmer of light. With every amount of energy he had, he went and moved to the light and got out of the cave, got out of the darkness into the light. But the brightness of the light was too bright. So he began to think about all the things that actually brought him comfort in the darkness. And he began to think of some things that were even fun to do in the darkness that kind of helped him while he was there. And so he eventually made his mind to go back into the darkness. And we think that's crazy. But that's what we do every time we walk away from God and we turn back into sin. We turn from the light and we go back into the darkness way of life. And we think of the things that the things that brought us comfort, that weren't really comfort. Because we want to live in the darkness instead of the light. He says, you walk now as children of light, reflected wherever you go. Notice what he says in verse 9. According to this light, the truth and the goodness and the holiness of God is going to shine from us. Notice he says, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. So we find that not only walking light is that we reflect it, but walking light produces fruit. You know, that photosynthesis type of thing that you learned about in school all those years ago. Fruit has to have light in order to be produced. Plant life to produce has to have light. So he says, when this light comes in, there will be fruit that will be produced from it. Notice the three things he says, good, right, and true is the fruit. Now, in the New Testament, there's several words that can be translated as good. One is that it could be good as far as it could be right, free from defect, it's beautiful, it's honorable, it's good. There's another word that could be it's pleasant. It's pleasant, it's useful, it's worthy, it's suitable, I can use it, it's good to be used, so it's good. But then there's also a good word that says it's moral excellence good. It's in nature, it's good. It's in effect, its effectiveness is good. Well, that's the word that Paul uses here. So it says that when the goodness of God comes, or the fruit that comes from your life is the goodness of God, there's a moral excellence that happens here. See, also, you know, light in the scriptures oftentimes means one of two things. It's intellect, and then there's a moral rightness as well. Intellect often means the truth. We know the truth, intellect spiritually. Spiritual morally means that we're living spiritually. We're living a holy life. So this is a goodness here that's happening that Paul's talking about. Is the moral excellence. It's effective in your life. It's changing you. Remember, when grace comes into our life, it changes us. Then he talks about righteousness. That's kind of how we live. It's an expression of our faith in following the righteousness of God. It's said of Abraham that because of his faith, it was credited to him as righteousness. That's forgiveness came through. It was credit. Righteousness was given to Abraham because of his faith. Because of our faith that we place in God, we get forgiveness. We become obedient. We live in that, and the holiness of God comes upon us. The grace of God touches us. It changes us. So we have the righteousness of God living us. We're living that right life. Jesus taught. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So he says, those who are hungry, those who are starving to death, those who are dying of thirst, that's the kind of hunger and thirst that we're to have for the righteousness of God, because that's the rightness of life that we have. It's our right relationship with God. Then he uses the word truth, which kind of means dealing honestly. It's mean, it's reliable, that it's trustworthy, that's integrity. You might say, is tied in this. So this would be our greatest truth about life, is that I understand my condition between me and God. That's truth. You know, Jesus said, I'm the truth. So when I understand who Jesus is truth, and I understand my relationship to God through Christ, then I have a real grasp of my relationship, and that's what changes me. You might look at it this way, about this fruit that's being produced. Goodness, this moral excellence in our life, has to do with how I relate with people. People I'm around, because I'm going to be good and wholesome, and I'm going to be effective, and I'm going to do what's good in their life, and I'm going to help them. That's that moral excellence in life. Righteousness then would have to do with my relationship with God, that I stand right before God. Living in the truth, it means I'm a person of an integrity. It's how I live with myself, you might say. It's the character that's developed in me, again, because the grace of God that has touched me. Jesus, in Matthew 7, he said that you will produce fruit from your life, and it will be good or bad based upon the light that's been shined in your life. So the light that comes from God is there. Now notice, this good fruit, the goodness, the righteousness, and truth of God produces something. Notice what it produces. It says to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That word, to discern, or sometimes translations had try to discern, it literally means to prove. Now this is big. So if we want to prove what the will of God is, the product of walking in the light, of bearing fruit, is the goodness and the righteousness and the truth that comes from God. And that will show us, that will help us to prove what the will of God is for our lives. So you might kind of think of it this way. You can take a mirror and show it darkness and nothing changes. Because you can't reflect darkness. But you put a mirror in a dark room and shine a light upon the mirror, there's a change, a noticeable change that takes place in that room. In fact, you can take a mirror and put it in a well-lit room and shine a bright light on it, and there will be a noticeable difference. You'll be able to see the difference that it makes. So that's what happens in our lives when the light of God comes in it. There's a noticeable difference that takes place. There's a sharp contrast, and it'll show us what it is God's will is for our lives. Pick up in verse 11 now. Let's continue on. So what else we find here? It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So walking in light reflects the light. Walking in light produces fruit. Now walking in the light exposes darkness. It exposes the darkness. A better way you might say that is that when light penetrates in the darkness, you begin to see how really dark it was or it is. You may think it's okay because, you know, in darkness you can see certain things. You can see images. But when you shine a light, it's so much better, so much clearer, so it begins to show us how really dark things really were. Now, in these words, what Paul's sharing here, there's a command and a commissioning that takes place. The command, it says, do not partake. Do not walk in the darkness. Do not do the things of the darkness that these people do. Remember, that's what you've been changed from. That's the contrast that takes place. In fact, notice verse 12. He says that it is shameful even to speak of the things. He says, don't even talk about the things that people are doing in the darkness. It's shameful about those things. He says, don't have anything to do with those things. But then comes the commissioning. Expose the darkness. Expose, because your life is living, reflecting the light of God, let it expose the darkness that's around you and even change in you. You know, there's some sense, two things going on here. In some sense, Paul's talking about accountability that we have with each other. You know, James talks in terms to us about confess your sins one to another. Who do you have in your life? Who knows you that well, that you trust that well, that you allow them to ask the hard questions about your life as you stand before God and living it out day to day? Confessing our sins one to another. So it's that accountability. Because let's face it, none of us are perfect. And sometimes we get caught up into things. We get caught up in things that are sinful, some things that are a part of the darkness again, and we're living there again. Sometimes we think we find pleasure in it. And so sometimes there needs a confrontation needs to take place. When that confrontation takes place, we speak the truth in love and we confess our sins to one another and we help each other to win them back into the believer, win them back to God in essence. Jesus said when it becomes so grievous, in Matthew 18, he lines out a whole process that we're to follow so that we can help bring people back into the presence of God once they've walked back towards the darkness. He says, you don't want that to happen. So speak to them. Speak to the truth in love in them. And then win them back to Christ so their life will represent God and they'll have that good fruit or that spiritual fruit in their life once again. Now, the other part of that commissioning, though, is that how we expose the light into the world. So how do we expose the light of God or expose the darkness that's in the world? Well, again, once you live your life reflecting the light of God, it shows a sharp contrast between those who are living in darkness and those who are living light. There should be a contrast in our lives and the life of a non-believer. We don't have to go around telling unbelievers or non-believers how bad their life is or what sins in their life. They typically already know that. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came so that the world might be saved. So we don't necessarily have to go and tell people all the sin that's in their life. If we live it and we share the love of Christ with them, see, what we need to be telling them is grace. You don't have to live in that sin any longer because Jesus died on the cross for it. That's what we just did through the Lord's Supper. Jesus sacrificed his life so that you could be changed, that you could live now in the presence of God and have hope to live in the presence of God for eternity. You don't have to live there any longer. Christ has already paid for your sins. Accept the forgiveness. Commit your life to Him and follow Him. And there's where life is really found. Jesus came to give life and He came to give it abundantly so that we might live it and have it. You know, when you go to the airport, you have to submit your bags that you're going to carry on to the airplane. Actually, if it's going on an airplane, it's going to go through an x-ray machine of sorts anyway. But if you're certainly going to carry it on an airplane, it's going to go through an x-ray machine. You have to go through those metal detectors, sometimes the x-ray machine yourself. We think those things are nuisance, but we typically don't mind going through them because we know they're looking for things that could be harmful for us or harmful for everybody that's on the airplane. I dread going through them. I never make it through those things without getting patted down or wanted. I can go through the x-ray machine. You know, you have to stand there like this, and that thing x-rays you. And they say, okay, sir, step over here. And then they say, okay, we're checking me out. I don't know what it is about my body. But I don't mind doing that. Why is that? Because I don't have anything to hide. You see, every now and then, our life, believer or non-believer, needs to have a bright light shining into us to expose ourselves if there's any darkness that's there. Because remember, we're wanting to be more and more like Jesus. So as Paul says, walk in the light, reflect the light. Walk in the light so that it produces good fruit from you. Walk in the light so that it not only exposes the darkness in your life, but exposes the darkness so that others will find hope in life as well. Then he adds one last thing. So there's a day's coming when everything, all darkness is going to be exposed. Notice what he says in verse 14. It says, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Rise from the dead. See, there's a day that's coming that God's going to shine the light of Christ into every life. That's the judgment. It says everything's going to be seen. Everything's going to be made visible. You're not going to hide anything. It's all going to be made visible then. She says, wake up. So if we're walking in the light, we're going to wake up to the true life that we have, or the true life that we can have in Christ. One of the early weddings that I did, a great young couple, they went off on their honeymoon with some of their friends. Knew where they were moving into, the house that they were moving into, because they'd all ran around together. And so they caught them gone, and they went where their bedroom was, and on the outside of the house, they put dark paper dark plastic bags around the window, so inside it looked completely dark. Well, when they arrived back from their honeymoon, they went home, you know, it was nighttime, so they went to bed. It was really late. And they'd wake up, and they'd see it was still dark, so they'd roll over and go back to sleep. Well, one of the moms kind of got concerned because they hadn't heard from them, and they knew they're supposed to be back, so they call them, and they go, hello, you know, kind of waking up kind of sleepily, and they said, well, what are you doing? Since we're still in bed. What do you mean you're still in bed? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's still dark outside, Mom. No, it's not. The sun's shining bright. It's because all the darkness, you know, they had taped all that dark paper around it. You see, we need to be woken up to see the glory of God, to see the light of God. And that's our mission as people of God, is to show people the way into the great light of God. Our last fire inspection, you know, they come around here so often, was the fire marshal and I walked around. There was something that they noticed. I hadn't noticed yet, but after we kind of talked about it, both of us kind of didn't realize how long had this, you know, how many inspectors hemmed through and hadn't noticed this. We discovered it downstairs in this building and in the worship center. There is no emergency lighting. There's no lighted exit signs. That's being corrected. Everything's being done except for the worship center yet. It's yet to be done. You know, what's the big deal? Well, if there's a fire, the power goes out and it's dark out, and you don't know your way around the building or you get disoriented, it could be detrimental, particularly if there's a fire. You catching it? We are the emergency lighting for the world. Because we're going to point people to safety. We're going to point people to the right place in God. Because that's where living in the light does. We reflect the light so that others can see and know the goodness of God. So how bright's your light? Find you something to write on. Okay? Some of you have been taking notes. That's good. I got a quiz for us. You knew it was coming one of these days. I was going to give you a quiz. All right, here it is. 7 questions, right? Yes or no, and you just put a mark down, all right? If you answer the question yes, put a mark under yes. If you answer the question no, put a mark under no. And this is just going to be between you and God, right? You don't have to show it to anybody unless you want to, all right? All right, here we go. I'm going to have the questions up there, and then I'm also going to read them as well, all right? Question number 1. Have you spoken to anyone in the last month telling them what Jesus means to you? Have you told anyone about Jesus? Have you witnessed to them? Have you tried to lead them to Christ? Who have you told in the last month? Have you told anyone in the last month what Jesus means to you? All right, question number 2. Did you speak to someone in the last month who has been absent from Bible study or worship to express your concern for them? Not to condemn them, because you know, where you been? You know, that type. No, because you're concerned. Were you sick? Something happened? Do you need? Is there a need that I can help you with? Yeah. someone the last month that missed Bible study or worship time, did you speak to them because you were concerned for them? Question number three. Have you invited a newcomer to the community to come with you to church anytime in the past 4 months? Ran across somebody that's new to the area? Do you invite them to join you for Bible study? Do you invite them to join you for worship? Maybe it's somebody you just discovered you never knew before. And did you invite them? Have you invited anyone that you didn't know that's new to the area in the last 4 months to come to Bible study or worship? Number five, right? Four, sorry. Forgot what number I was on. Have you encouraged or invited anyone who does not attend Bible study church to visit with you in the last month? It's a little different. New person, have you invited anybody to join you to Bible study or worship in the last month? Right? Question number five. Did you speak to someone last week or even today that you did not know personally who was in worship just to greet them or to welcome them? Now, most of you here, if you were here last week, I know most of you did that with David and Yvette and Chandler that was here, right? I know most of you dropped by. But okay, have you, last week or this week, talked to anybody that you didn't know, just to greet them? Okay, number six. Do you pray for opportunities to be able to speak about Jesus or the church to others? Do you pray and ask God to create opportunities for you to tell people about Jesus or invite them to church? Do you pray for opportunities for that to happen? All right, question seven, last one. Do you pray that the Holy Spirit will burden you with the souls of lost people around you? Do you pray that God would burden you with people who do not know Him? Hopefully that you'll tell them about that, because that was question six, right? Do you pray for a burden about those who are lost? All right, add them up. How many yeses did you get? How many no's? You get seven. Don't tell me. You don't have to tell me, right? You got all seven right? You're a good lighthouse. Your light is shining brightly for others to see God. Four or five, might need to clean your mirror a bit. Starting to get a little dim, right? Two or three yeses, you need to do some really good work on your reflecting of the light, because it's not very bright. You're hiding the light. You're praying for the fog to come in and hide the city on the hill instead of it not being undistinguishable. You know, you can't hide it. All right, let's pray together. As you pray, how bright your light? Are you walking and reflecting the light of God? Are you walking producing the fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth? Are you walking in the light so much that it exposes the darkness? There's a sharp contrast. And again, that should give you opportunity to share the good news. Are you walking in the light that you're awake? You're awakened to who God is. You're awakened to what God's wanting to do in and through you in the lives of others. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words that Paul wrote years ago that still have bearing and help for us today. God, I really pray on two realms. God, first I pray those that may have never walked into the light, they're still living into the darkness, meaning they've never asked you for forgiveness. They've never committed their life to you. God, I pray today they would step into the light and know you. Then, God, I pray for those that their light's becoming a little dim. God, help us to clean the mirror. Maybe it's to have that good friend to come in and hold us accountable. Maybe it's to have that person to come in or have your word, your spirit to come in and shine the light brightly into our lives to expose the darkness there. God, I pray that you might raise us up, that we would be that lighthouse, and that we would bring others to you. I got to pray over these next few moments while we sing. If there's commitments that need to be made, God, give us courage and strength to follow you, to get close, to walk into the light, and to walk as children of the light. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. And as we sing, you come as God's leading and prompting you to do so. Amen.